Yesterday, we were looking at the book of Job. We just started looking at the book of Job. And again, Job is that book that I think a lot of times we shy away from reading Job because of the things we've heard. And, you know, sometimes some of the verses that are just taken out of context and they become familiar verses. And so sometimes we also don't understand. We don't want to read about Job because we see that Job is someone that clearly the enemy has his way. And the enemy takes everything from him. And it's very hard. It's very difficult. And it's not a short book either. So there's chapter after chapter. And sometimes it's confusing. And sometimes it can leave us feeling, if we don't read it with our eyes open, it can leave us feeling a little bit discouraged, thinking to ourselves, well, I don't want that to ever happen to me or my family or those that I love. But here's the good thing about Job. You can even read just the first couple of chapters and find so much that's there as encouragement. And certainly the way the book of Job ends is filled with truth and encouragement for us. I think a lot of times the reason that we struggle with the book of Job is we get confused. Job, it starts off with basically the first conversation is a conversation of Satan with God about Job. And then we have a second conversation. And then there's a number of conversations from Job's three friends. He has three different friends. Each one of those friends offers Job his advice. Seeing that Job has lost everything and is suffering and is broken in his mind. He's broken emotionally. Even his body is racked. And his three friends are distraught and don't even speak for 7 days when they see him. That's how bad the appearance of Job is. And then each one of them in turn offers their thoughts, their opinions to Job. And sometimes we get a little bit discouraged because we'll read those opinions of the three friends. And just because those three friends are saying things, and they say things that are contrary to God and contrary to other parts of the Word. So just because they're saying it doesn't mean that it's true because it's in the Bible and so it's true. You have to understand that these three friends, when they're speaking, they're not speaking from the wisdom of God. They're speaking, and oftentimes speaking the flesh, speaking man, speaking words of discouragement. And then at the very end, we see God speaking to Job and giving his words to Job. So when we read through Job, we truly can find a lot of encouragement. Now, we saw yesterday that in the very first verse, it says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who reverently feared God and abstained from and shunned evil because it was wrong. So we saw that Job, and then the next thing we see is that Job has seven sons and three daughters, and his seven sons each on their day, on their birthday, on the day of their birth, would celebrate and invite the other brothers and the sisters over, and there would be obviously days of just revelry and celebration. And when you have seven brothers, this is a lot of time that's spent during the year, if each one is taking days celebrating his birthday. So this is what Job's sons are doing. Job is a man that the Bible tells us is blameless. It doesn't mean he's perfect, but it's blameless in that he is putting his trust in God. He is looking towards God. His heart is for God. He's upright. He reverently fears God. He worships and adores. He honors God. And he abstains or he shuns evil. Now, this is paramount because it says that he's aware of evil. He's not turning away from evil because he's fearful of punishment. It doesn't say that. It says that he turns his back. He shuns evil, not because he's afraid of punishment, which certainly you're going to see from his three friends. His three friends all believe that Job suffers because of his own sin. They all believe that what he goes through, what he has endured, and what he's enduring, continuing to endure as they are present, they all believe it's a result of his sin. Some hidden sin, something secret, something he has done to offend God, something he has done has brought this upon him. But we get the heart of Job in this very first verse that says he abstained from evil, not because he was fearful of punishment. He abstained from evil simply because it was wrong. He did it because he knew it was wrong and he did not want to do what was displeasing to God. That's the heart of Job. And as his sons and his daughters are obviously in celebration and they're into the world, they're into carnal, they're into fleshly things. We learn in those first couple of verses that when those days of feasting were over, Job would have his sons come, and he would make a sacrifice just in case they had sinned, in case they had done something that was displeasing to God or had sinned in some way, even had sinned from their mouth. Job wanted to make sure they were covered. And so when he'd have the sons over, and he would offer sacrifices on their behalf. This is the heart of Job. And then we saw that Satan entered in, and Satan spoke with God. Satan entered in, well, let's read those verses, because this is something that's going to play out very importantly in the first couple of chapters. We'll see this imagery several times. This is verse number 6 of chapter 1 of the book of Job. Now there was a day when the sons, the angels of God, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan, the adversary and the accuser, also came amongst them. So Satan is the one. This gives us a clear indication of who Satan is. And we need to remember this throughout the book. Satan is the one who brings accusation. Satan is the adversary, and he is the accuser. Satan is the adversary. He is adversarial towards God, and he's adversarial towards God's creation, which is man. Satan is in an adversarial position against God and against man. And because Satan is the adversary, he is the opposite. He is on the other side of God. He is the one who brings accusations against man. Now, this is a theme that we see in the New Testament as well, but it gives us a clear indication of exactly who Satan is. So Satan actually is, and again, we have to remember, this book was written, this story is about Job, and most Bible experts or most Bible commentators and those who read through most believe that Job is a story that would be in the timeline sometime around the time of Abraham, maybe a little before, maybe a little bit after. But we're talking about one of the oldest books and one of the oldest stories from the Bible. And this would have been thousands of years ago. At least, we're talking in the neighborhood of about 4,000 years ago or more. So we're talking about an old, old story. This is before David. This is before Moses. This is before the 400 years before Moses. This is before or about the time frame of Abraham, probably, perhaps even before Abraham. So we're talking a long, long time ago. So now we see Satan. Satan presents himself to God. The angels always present themselves to God, but on this day, Satan does as well. He presents themselves before the Lord, and Satan the adversary came along. And it says in verse number 7, the Lord said to Satan, "From where did you come?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down on it." Now he says the same thing again in the next chapter as well. Anytime that I see something in the Bible that is spoken twice or that is revealed twice, and this imagery of Satan saying, when God says, "What are you doing?" God knows exactly what Satan's doing. God knows everything. But he's making Satan accountable for his actions and even what he says and how he responds. And Satan says that he has been roaming across, going to and fro the earth, walking up and down it, going to and fro and walking up and down the earth. He is covering the earth. Now, we saw this yesterday. If you look in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, I think we looked at this yesterday. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, we get that imagery of Satan. And this is the way that God, through Peter, shows us who Satan is, and this is the image that we have. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, it says, "Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. In the Amplified Bible it says, "Be well balanced, be temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times. For the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and to devour." So this is the same imagery that we see with Satan back in the book of Job, where Job says, God says, "So what are you doing?" to Satan. And Satan responds and says, "Well, I'm just walking up and down. I'm roaming to and fro. I'm going up and down the earth." Satan hasn't changed at all. He is exactly the same. And you also have to remember that at the time of Adam and Eve, in the time of sin, as God removed Adam and Eve and mankind from the garden, from that time forward, God had given to Adam, he gave Adam authority over the earth. everything with the earth and everything about the earth, Adam had the authority of God. But once there was sin introduced and man sinned, then by that sin, man willingly gave. It was not his intention, but it's because he willingly sinned, he willingly gave that authority over to Satan. Now Satan had the authority. Now God is not a man that he should lie, and God is not a man that he should not say what is true. So if God said, if God gave that authority to man, and then man used it foolishly and gave it away, you and I would say, do over, that's not what I intended. Did not mean for Satan to have authority, it was meant for man. God's not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he will do it. So he gave that authority to man to do with what he pleased, and man gave it. God's not going to take it back. He's not going to forcefully take it back, because it was man's to do with what he wanted. And when man gave that authority to Satan, Satan then had, from that time forward, all the way up till the time of Christ and Christ's victory, up till that time, this we talked about yesterday, Satan had that authority. He had the authority. So we see Satan here roaming up and down the earth, going to and fro. Now the image we get from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, is Satan as a roaming lion, roaring in fierce hunger, looking for those that he may devour. Now it says that he's looking for those he may devour. Satan can't just devour anyone. And this is especially true for you and I under the new covenant in Jesus Christ. He can't just devour anyone. And so he was doing the same thing back in the days of Job. He's roaming around looking to see. God said, be vigilant, be on the guard, be on the lookout. Don't give yourself over. So Satan's roaming about looking to see who he can devour, who he can destroy. And Satan's obviously targeting this man, Job. And we'll pick that up and look at that tomorrow. And we're going to see from this, just this first chapter of Job, we're going to see some other things. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, that Job had no knowledge of Satan. And this is part of the reason why when we see the things that Job says, he doesn't really have any knowledge or understanding of who Satan is, because back in the Old Testament, mankind had no authority over Satan whatsoever. And since he had no authority, the Bible doesn't tell us much about Satan, doesn't mention much, because he had no authority. But we understand and we know looking back. And this is why the book of Job is such a good book for us to see and to understand. And we can learn the goodness and the faithfulness of God, but we also see the deceptions, the lies, the deceits, the manipulations and the maneuvering of Satan. But we always remember that we have the victory in Jesus Christ. We have the victory in him. And Job is a great example for us to learn from. And we have even better promises than Job had, because we do have Jesus Christ. So we'll look at this again more tomorrow. Job is a fascinating book. If you have time today, just read through. You didn't take time. Just read through the first three or four chapters and let the Holy Spirit show you new revelation into Job. Don't be afraid of the book of Job, and don't think you're going to be discouraged by it. There's so much good news and truth and strength that comes from that, and revelation. And we'll look at that more tomorrow.